What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And Taylor Tomlinson is joining us this episode. She just couldn't make the intro, but you will be hearing from her in a moment. We are so excited today to be joined by such an incredible guest, Mike Birbiglia. He's a stand-up comedian, actor, director, producer, and writer. He's personally been one of my favorite comedians for years and years and years. His book Sleepwalk With Me and Other Painfully True Stories was a New York Times bestseller. You might know him from Inside Amy Schumer, HBO's Girls and Broad City, as well as the films Trainwreck, The Fault in Our Stars, and Popstar. He also plays the role of Danny Pearson on Orange is the New Black and Oscar Langstroth on Showtime's Billions. So you've probably seen him or heard of him prior yes. to our podcast. He's amazing. And as of this year, he's also the host of a new podcast called Work It Out. And he's had on guests like Jimmy Kimmel, Hasan Minhaj, so many more. So without further ado, here is our interview with the amazing Mike Birbiglia.
It's all broken over here. Do you know anybody?
That's a great special title. All broken over here.
This is the promo for your episode, by the way. Yeah.
If you want to break right into it, it's like for those of us with mental health issues, the pandemic has not been a friendly pat on the back.
No. Ooh, no, it has not
been a warm hug.
No, it's been an aggressive wedgie.
Yes. It has been an aggressive wedgie, monstrous. Which apparently occasionally kills.
Oh, sure.
The wedgie can kill. I actually read that recently.
What percentage of the time?
Very low. Low mortality on wedgies. But I was actually researching that because my last show, the new one, was all about having a child. And my next show, which is called the YMCA Pool, is all about death. And so I've just been researching the ways people die.
Oh, what a fun deep dive during 2020.
Yeah, I think it feels right.
So have I, but not for a project. So I've just been doing it for pleasure.
Yeah. Well, the interesting
thing happen.
There's a lot of ones that are like really quirky. Like there's like 100 something people a year die from coconuts falling on their heads.
Hilarious.
Really?
Okay. And my punchline was, do you eat the coconut? Because it is ripe. And the person who's dead is also ripe. So you could eat both of them, really. But you know, maybe
no
you
waste
hate.
Comedian.
Both are on the ground.
They're both on the ground. Yeah, you got to come on my podcast. My podcast is literally that. It's working it out, which is we work out bits.
I would love so that. But
yeah.
I love the new one, by the way.
Thanks.
I saw that on Broadway. I was on the road by myself, like in between gigs on the East Coast. And I was like, I'm going to go see this. And it was so good.
Wow.
I loved it. Yeah.
You didn't come say, but you didn't come say hello afterwards.
No, I mean, this was like years ago, right?
Oh, it was years ago. Okay.
It was a couple years ago. Because I only recently met you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which feels like 50 years ago.
I'm trying to think. I met you at the Comedy Cellar, if I remember, in the Village Underground space.
Mm-hmm.
Downstairs. That's when I remember I watched a set of yours. And I did have that sort of like, who is this kind of thing? Whenever you see a comedian you think is great and you have that thing where I don't know about you I don't say you guys because you're not guys. I'm trying to change my speech pattern on that.
Oh, you're okay.
But I don't want to say you ladies. You ladies understand. you
so
girls must
words.
Understand
you yeah, gals. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
please. How about y'all understand.
Perfect.
Terrible.
You
people
written on
you
your
people
shirt.
You people get it.
No, I know, but no, but yeah, but I feel like you comedians would understand this idea of like, sometimes all it takes is one joke from a comedian to know whether you like their point of view or you don't like their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I had that with Taylor where I saw her at downstairs at the Village Underground, and I was immediately like, oh yeah, she's got it. That's great. That's great.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm such a big fan of yours. I have been for like years because Sleepwalk With Me came out, we just talked about it. It was 2012. So I was like 19, yeah. I think. And I started doing stand-up when I was 16. So it was still pretty early for me. And you know, Kelsey was saying she saw it in theaters. So everyone's...
Yeah. Mike, you're like one of my like longtime favorite comedians.
Oh my gosh.
Like I remember watching your show like 10 years. I've been doing stand up 11 years now. Like early on starting and just being like, "Oh my god, this dude is fucking amazing." So I've been a longtime fan. We're very excited to have you on.
Whenever
I like you too, Mike.
Whenever. Thanks, Delaney. Whenever people
Good job, Delaney.
Whenever people bring up how old they were when they discovered me, it makes me think I need to get better faster. Like I'm not, like the growth is not enough since you saw me. Like I should be hosting the Oscars. If you saw me at 19, I should be hosting the 2021 Oscars.
I mean, I just turned 27. It wasn't that long.
Yeah.
But
I've been listening since the womb. Let's be real.
Mm. Okay.
14, Mike. I don't know if you
know. Man.
So we always ask our guests if they have a favorite or least favorite quote, motivational quote, self-help quote, anything like that. Is there something that comes to mind?
The one that's been I've been thinking about a lot lately is there's a book by Byron Katie called Loving What Is, and I might butcher this. You know, I'm sure you deal with insecurities about butchering someone else's philosophy, but like the gist of it is it's sort of cognitive therapy where when you have an extreme emotion, which I often do, anger, frustration, or sadness. To ask yourself these questions, is what you're feeling true? Mm-hmm. And the second question is it definitely true? Which I think is a really often, it's a very telling question.
That's what usually gets you.
That's what stops me. Yeah. And then I think the third one is like, how would you feel if it weren't true? What would that make you feel like if it weren't true? And then I think the fourth one is, what if the opposite were true?
Okay, hold on. Good. I'm literally going to write that down.
Yet.
I'm not kidding. Just say that one more time, because I think our listeners would want to hear it one more time too anyway. Say that again.
So I think, again, you have to look this up, Byron Katie. I think it's four questions, which is it true, the emotion you're feeling? Is it definitely true, which I think is the most telling in my experience.
Right.
And I think the third one is, how would you feel if it weren't true? Would you feel differently? And then the fourth one is, what if the opposite were true? Mm. And actually, you know, what's funny is that because we're among comedian friends, we can sort of analogize this to comedy writing, which I think is a lot of times you take a premise and you go, if this is true, what else is true? And then it's like, what if the opposite were true? And that's sort of like, a lot of times that's the ABC of a joke.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of that bubble chart of like, this is the main idea. And now like, how many branches can we get off of this main idea?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what Taylor, when I saw your stand-up, I felt like you were really like exploring all of those. Like when I saw your stand-up, I was like, oh yeah, like she's not just, like you see comedians who write and you see comedians who don't write, but just are. And it's right. Like, when I watched you, I was like, oh, she's someone who's writing. She's like doing the work of the job. Right.
Oh, this one has to try. It's not just like, I have to try pretty hard. I'm not just going up there like, it's me. I did it. I have to work.
But you know what's so, but how many people do we know who are the, it's me, I did it?
That should be the title of a lot of specials.
It's me.
I did it.
It's me. I did it. Now I'm canceled. Now I'm back.
A memoir.
Me, I did it. Wait. No, I didn't. Wait. Yes, yeah. I did.
Doing it again.
I didn't realize this was on record.
Oh my God. Mike, when do you find that you ask yourself those questions? Is it when you're trying to like pull yourself out of making assumptions about things, or when you're anxious, or what?
I don't think it's as rational as that, Delaney. It's more like when I'm mostly it's sad or angry. You know, it's just like when I'm in that place where I feel like a claustrophobia in my existence. And I a lot of times, and this is where like my last special, the new one came from, was like hours and hours of free writing into a journal, like majority garbage. Mm-hmm. You know, like most of what I wrote is, I hope no one ever reads it. but then combing through it, and then journaling is sort of a cognitive therapy in a sense also. I always suggest journaling to people who aren't even writers. Is just like, it's a healthy thing to write out how you feel and what you're experiencing, and then read it like a week later, a month later, 6 months later. Like I've been reading stuff lately that I wrote at the beginning of the pandemic in March, and it's helping me to sort of grasp like what the fuck happened.
Right.
Ooh, just in terms of like how everything changed so quickly, or yeah, are you looking immediate. Back at how you've changed?
I think that how much I didn't know and none of us knew. Mm-hmm. So it was like this weird thing where it's like 1,000 people have died so far.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
And I'm afraid this could get worse.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, little did we know, it's like 250 and climbing in November.
Yeah.
Just to zoom out on that, I feel like we're so inundated with these like 24-hour news cycle, like pachoo, 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 this thing, this headline. And it's like, well, wait a minute. We were afraid that 10,000 people might die and 250,000 people have died.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And more also like, I think we started in March with the sprint mentality in terms of self-care and just kind of trying to stay positive through and be like, okay, well, this is fucking crazy and weird. The next month or two might be weird, but we're going to get through it. And then kind of in the last, I don't know, maybe month or two, I've had conversations with people where we're like, oh, this is a marathon. This isn't what we thought. Yes. This is like the self-care that we have to keep our well-being, even just a little bit of crap. Level is it takes so more than we ever thought. It lasted so much longer than we thought.
Yeah. And I don't know about you. I'm not great at marathons.
Same.
Right.
Not a cross country runner from high school.
I was just going to stop it. I'm not great.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm not great at. Going to stop it. I'm not great at.
I'm not doing well. I think we all like, especially like Kelsey and I at the beginning of this, we were like traveling so much and doing so many road dates, and we were like, we need a vacation anyway. It's fine.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It'll be a month and a half. And then it was so much longer. And yeah, the just watching everybody get to a place of like, okay, we have to figure out a way to live our lives, but also be careful and safe. And then all these people just going the opposite direction where they're like, I'm not gonna even think this is happening anymore. Which is like wild.
Oof.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year. I think everyone's had too much time to think. And I don't know if you've experienced this, Mike, where you've like, you know, maybe read books that you have been meaning to read for a long time and gone like, oh, this would have helped my relationships a lot sooner if I had read this. I'm talking about the Bible mainly, but
No, I've been reading a lot of the Bible.
Whatever works for you.
A lot of prayer.
Yeah.
I've been staying at a Motor Inn and I've been reading the Bible at my bedside every night.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, I actually marathons and reading books are in the same category for me in terms of my skill level.
Sure.
Which is absurd because I released a book this year. I wrote a book. I'm able to write much more effectively than I'm able to read.
Yeah. Should we cross off the top of your shirt then? I feel like it's kind of false advertising.
Well, you know what's funny is I'm good with books that have like, this is near me, but it's like,
it's just Dr. Seuss.
I'm great with children. I burn through children's books and,
and with pictures.
You know, and I tell my daughter I'm much better at reading than her. She's five. Sure. But this is called The Art of Memoir by Mary Carr. And this is a book that I pick up a lot. I think it's the best book I've ever read about autobiographical writing. And I recommend it to anyone who does any kind of writing, and particularly stand-ups. It's like, because in a certain sense, all as stand-ups, all we're doing is memoir anyway, but just short form.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I love about your style of comedy so much, is it like, it does, every show you do does feel like a memoir. Like, I mean, you hone these, what I guess a lot of people would call, I don't know if you refer to them this way, as like a one man show, but they're so dense because you're working it out in comedy clubs.
Yes.
That it's like, it's a solid hour of jokes, but it's got an arc and it's got these quieter moments and it's, but still having so many punchlines. Like, I just think you do that like so, so well. And it's really inspiring for younger comics, I think, who are scared to open up that much about themselves personally and like feel like, oh, maybe I don't have that much to talk about. And like watching you do an hour about being afraid to have a kid and deciding to have a kid, I was like, oh my God, like this is like, so that was like self-help for me watching that, where I was like, yeah, that's
oh my gosh,
how you can do it. You can do a whole hour about one feeling you had changing, or like one relationship you had changing, or, you know, your struggle with sleep. Like, you just have such a great way of like doing it in such an entertaining, joke heavy, but like very powerful way that, this is not a question. This is just me blowing smoke up your ass a little bit.
But... I love it.
It's just turned into a really long winded compliment, but.
Well, I can bring it back to Mary Carr though.
Please do.
He has this thing, and it's partly like the thing you were saying earlier, like what's a good quote. She has this thing about basically like asking yourself tough questions as a memoirist, which is like, what do people like about you and what do people not like about you? And like sort of be honest with yourself about that. And she's like, because like she teaches at, I think, Syracuse. And she's like, more often than not, like my students will come in and the first thing they'll write is very self-aggrandizing and like, look how good I, oh, it's like what we were saying earlier about stand stand-ups. Like, look, right. Look at me. Look how good I... What was the exact thing we said? I forget what it was.
It's me. I did it.
It's me. I did it. And she says that's what she encounters with her memoir students a lot. And then at a certain point, you have to get to a point of like, no, what's wrong with me? Because actually what's wrong with me is way more interesting than what's right with you.
Right.
Yes.
Which is, of course, fits into the podcast because you're trying to fix yourself.
Right. Oh, so that was the point I was trying to make. Okay. Let me put a button on the long compliment. The point I was trying to make is watching somebody do an hour where they're so honest about their faults and like something they struggled with and having this amazing like final product as a writer watching it. And I would argue any writer, not just a comedian, is so helpful to watch somebody else have put something so difficult that they went through and turn it into such like a great piece of art. I think that's like what's so great about your stuff.
I definitely like, it was a long trek to get there because like I, in my 20s, was chasing the thing that a lot of young comics are, which was like fame and a sitcom and money and all these things where you're like, that will fix everything. if I could just get fame and notoriety and money and I'm a comedian, that is great. And then I went to Hollywood. I had a CBS sitcom based on my life that was greenlit for pilot. So which means we filmed it and like Nick Kroll was in it and Bob Odenkirk and Francis Conroy and all these really wonderful much better actors than I am. And we filmed it and we all thought like, you know, it was like one of those things like we're having dinner with the agents at steakhouses and all these things where it's like this is a little too good to be true. And then it didn't get picked up. And then when it didn't get picked up, it was almost like I like awoke from a trance or like a cult. Like I've been watching The Vow. And like watching The Vow, like the deprogramming of the cult members, I find to be really interesting. And like, it was almost like deprogramming from the cult of Hollywood, which is like, which is the feeling of like if they give you a lot of money, that is the goal. And you're like, wait a minute, I didn't get into this for money in the first place. So like, when did that change? Like what the fuck happened that I started caring about being rich? Like, when was that the goal?
Yeah,
right.
So then I moved back to New York and I just pursued like these small off-Broadway solo shows. And then eventually, you know, like, you know, now the last one was on Broadway. So that was, you know, exciting.
That's amazing. How do you take care of
it? It took a long time. It took about 50 or 60 years.
50, 60 years, wow. You look fantastic. Yeah. You look good.
Kelsey, you were 19 when you saw the first one. I mean, I'm a 75-year-old man.
Wow. Will you tell us what your skincare routine is after this? Because whatever you're using, we'd love to know.
I use Paul Rudd 25.
Perfect.
I did a joke the other day. I go, Paul Rudd doesn't age, and I age like I have a disease.
It's rapidly.
Literally, when I took the new one, the show, to Hollywood, to LA, to the Amundsen Theater, like a year ago, after it was on Broadway, I thought sort of like a victory lap in Hollywood because it was like my face was on all like the lampposts and shit. Like it was like, oh, this place that rejected me 12 years ago and sent me packing, like I'm back, you know. And the reviewer for the LA Times wrote, I really enjoyed the show. And if it becomes a movie, it must star Paul Rudd. And I was like, oh, that's fascinating. Because you know who else does some acting is the writer and star of the show you just saw.
Look, all I heard was, I look like Paul Rudd. And to reframe it, okay? That's all. That's hilarious. I mean, that's what's so fun about LA is like it does not care about you at all. Not you personally, in
no,
general.
No. It doesn't love you, the non-specific.
Yeah. How shitty would that be if we brought you on and just like buttered you up with compliments and then randomly just a weird mindfuck moment of like, by the way, Hollywood like really doesn't
cares.
You specifically.
This is an elaborate video message telling you that Hollywood doesn't like you. This is a very expensive cameo.
Very elaborate.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Delaney, you were going to ask something, right?
Oh, I was just going to say, how do you take care of your mental health specifically with the ups and downs of this industry? And also as a performer who is used to being in front of everybody and then had to go in quarantine and kind of be in hiding for a bit in a way.
That's a lot to unpack, because quarantine mental health, I think, is different from the before times, which is to say that like quarantine, it's like I need to do like a certain number of steps on my Fitbit every day, or else I notice like a marked difference in my mental health. It's quite shocking. So that's like a really straightforward one. Also journaling helps a lot. And then, I mean, a lot of it is like acknowledging what it is you enjoy and then trying to find some space to do that thing. So like there was like maybe a year ago or 2 years ago or 40 years ago. But no one knows for sure.
No one knows.
That it occurred to me that I really enjoy going to the Comedy Cellar and just sort of talking to any comic who's at the table who happens to come by. And like, I just enjoy that. And so I sort of carved out space in my life to make that part of my routine. And it's like, I don't know. It's the between that and like spending time with my wife, Jen, and my daughter, Una, like, those are probably my favorite two things to do in life. And it's just sort of finding time to do that.
Mm, yeah.
But it's like a lot of it's fucking scheduling. A lot of it's like staring at a calendar and being like, this space of time, I'm going to plan no things. Or this span of time, I'm going to plan to watch a movie. Yeah. You know, just something that seemingly you don't have to plan for, but maybe you actually do.
Right. Yeah. Do you have any hobbies? Because you're such a comedy machine, I feel like.
I wish I had hobbies. Everything becomes part of the act, you know? It's like in my 20s, I picked up the guitar as a hobby. Next thing you know, it's on a special. I'm singing a fucking country song. I mean, like, what am I doing? Like, fortunately, I haven't picked up like beekeeping or some shit where like, I was like, oh, there's the beekeeper comedian again. He's bringing his live bees to the Funny Bone in Omaha.
Yeah. It's like a very NACA, you know, like set up a booth, the beekeeper comedian coming to Scranton. Yeah.
By the way, you're talking about a much better financial situation than I'm in right now. Like, you're talking about, I mean, Kelsey's joking, but like, if you took that to NACA, which is like a college booking conference where they do book entertainers for the year, and you had the beekeeping suit and the bees and you went up to the, you had a old timey microphone and you had a bunch of B jokes, a bunch of, you would book your year. You'd be a millionaire. You'd be like, yes, Daniel Tosh with a fucking house on the ocean.
Oh yeah. I leaned in fully to the gimmick a year ago at NACA, and my college agent rented a foosball table for 3 hours for our booth so that I could do my foosball joke and then tell kids at the end of my set, if you beat me, I'll give you a free t-shirt. And sure enough, there was a line around the fucking corner.
It's so smart.
What's the joke? What's the, tell me what the joke is.
Oh God. I mean, it's a whole, do you know anything about like the foosball stuff with me?
No, no, I'm sorry. I don't.
Oh, she's like world champion.
Oh, no way. Really?
She's insanely good at foosball. Like she gave away no free t-shirts at NACA. Like it's, she's insane. She's insane.
Whoa. That's amazing.
Thank you. My parents met playing in a professional foosball tournament in the 80s. So like I literally wouldn't exist if it weren't for foosball.
And somehow she's still hot. Yeah. You don't know how.
Well, you know the thing about those little foosball men is they can fuck each other.
That's the part I left out of the joke at NACA. Because, you know. But
yeah, people should know NACA is very clean. It's a very NACA's like
very clean.
It's also very Christian-ish. Like it had like I did a lot of NACAs. Okay. I did a lot. Like my early career was just like I probably did 10 of them or something. Wow. I mean, I've probably played like 300-400 colleges in my life.
Jesus. That's amazing.
I've been to all the UWs in Wisconsin and
And honestly, the fact that you still look as young as you do is a miracle. If you've done that many colleges, like they age you so quickly.
They age you so fast.
Oh yeah. So you've both done a lot of colleges.
Yeah. NACA is how I, like quit my job at 20 because it's, you know, which when you're 20 you're like, this is great because all my jokes are about being 20, so I relate to those kids. But then I made enough money doing colleges because I booked like 50 colleges and then was on the road all the time, quit school, and then as soon as I was paying my own bills, everyone was like, we don't know what you're talking about. Our parents gave us a credit card and we eat in the cafeteria. Right. And we don't have any real world experience. So you age out pretty quickly. But yeah, Kelsey and I have both done a lot of colleges. It's great when you're starting.
It was during a NACA run of colleges that I sleepwalked through a second story window.
Right.
That I booked at NACA. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was a Pacific Northwest NACA. And okay. I got booked at like, I think like UW Pasco and Whitman College and University of Oregon and like all of these Pacific Northwest
schools. I'm from Washington. So everywhere saying is like, all those places.
Yeah. So it was like this thing where I think that stretch of shows was 7 colleges in 6 days, which is to say that some of them were nooners, which the listeners might not know is when you're booked at a college to perform in a cafeteria for people who are not planning to watch comedy.
Yep.
They are planning to eat lunch.
Yeah.
I had a show once. They call them nooners. I had a nooner once. Yeah. I showed up at their cafeteria. They just place you there with a portable 1 foot up step that's like technically a stage, and no one. It was like people were in line to get sandwiches made for them, mm-hmm. and I was performing to those people directly, and this is the kicker. The show was reviewed by the student newspaper.
Oh,
they're like, God. He wasn't strong. Like he really wasn't good. And like people didn't like him. And I was just like, no, it's not that. It's that no one wanted me to be there.
It was an inconvenience. Yeah.
Yeah. If you got spaghetti at 9 in the morning, you wouldn't be like, this spaghetti is terrible. You'd be like, this is not the time for spaghetti.
Not the proper spaghetti hour.
Wait, but Kelsey, I'm so Kelsey, I'm so sorry that we got sidetracked from your foosball, because this is way more interesting than my jumping through the window story.
It's truly not. We need to talk about, if you want.
She has a web series.
You have a web series about it?
Yeah, about she just played Brian Regan. Like, it's just her smoking.
Really?
Would love to have you on.
I'd love it.
But yeah, when we're talking about like that, nothing is left as a hobby anymore. Like, we're such vultures of our own lives of like, but what can I put on the television? And so like this thing that was just my fun hobby I've loved for my entire life, I then was like, well, let's do something with it. Sure. So now it's been a web series for the last few years, but anyway.
Wow. I can't wait to see it. I'm so sorry. Nice. Tell me what it's called.
It's called Risks of Fury. It's on YouTube. I can send you a little link on Instagram.
Great.
If you want.
Risks
of Fury. You're very sweet.
Like Risks of Fury. Risks of Fury. Yeah.
If you ever want to see Freddie Prinze Jr. get his ass handed to him in
football. Wow. So you used to, so good. Your college agent, which college agent can you say?
Summit.
I remember. Yep. I did the circuit in such a big way. Like, I not only know the comedians who did it, I know the agents who do it. Like, I know everybody. I know the culture of the whole thing. Okay. So I'm like, yeah, 14? Summit. Yeah. But the foosball, that's such a good angle. So you go up and you do bits about being really good at foosball and your parents meeting from being pro foosballers. And then you'd play foosball like at your booth. That's oh my God, I can't even imagine. So when you would do the colleges, would they ask for a foosball, you to bring the foosball table, or would they have one set up for you?
So we had this was not that long ago. It was about a year ago. And then
it was 2 weeks COVID. Ago.
It was 2 weeks ago. So we had only done like the one conference really before like that started, and then obviously COVID and all that. But my college agent is super smart and was like, this is the perfect thing to bring to the booth. So he just rented one for a few hours. But yeah, I mean, if there are future ones, then I think we would probably keep trying to do that.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's huge.
Thanks. It's a weird carny life I live. But can you talk more, if you're okay with it, about the sleepwalking incident and like how you've been able to incorporate that into like your act and taking care of yourself and all of that?
Well, it's funny. This is sort of a self-help related observation about the sleepwalking show and also me jumping through the window. I started writing Sleepwalk With Me before I jumped through the window. Because it was a persistent problem for years. Like, I had a lot of anxiety and I would sleepwalk, and I just thought, yeah, people sleepwalk. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought like, I did think it was odd, and I thought it was odd enough to write jokes and stories about. And so I had like this story about, you know, jumping up on the bed and when I was living with my girlfriend and realizing I was on top of like a VCR or like a TiVo. I'm literally listing like a series of technology items that don't exist anymore. I was on top of a PlayStation. Yeah. It was, I was
churning butter in my sleep.
I was chiseling rocks and I realized I'm sleeping. And I was on top. It actually was a TiVo, which is a DVR. And I fell, you know, I fell off that and like would end up with scratches and things.
Wow.
And then I started writing this show about sort of being in denial about, you know, the show is about being in denial about my career, being in denial about my relationship that I knew should end, but I couldn't say it. And I was in denial about the serious sleepwalking disorder that I should have been going to a doctor about, and I didn't do it. And then in the process of writing it, I'm talking like 3 years into writing the show, I jumped through the second story window sleepwalking.
Wow.
In Walla Walla, Washington, after performing at Whitman College, This is a detail it's never in the show because it's anticlimactic, but it's actually kind of a weird detail. And like, I feel like because you do NACAs, you'd understand why I did this in a unique way.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After I jumped through the window, they put 33 stitches in my legs. And I had glass in my legs and I was bleeding, all this stuff. I went back to the motel in Walla Walla, the La Quinta Inn. I paid for the window. I swear to God, I paid for the window. Oh, it was like God. $300. I checked out and then I drove across the state to University of Oregon to perform at the final gig on that run of shows because I was so broke that I actually couldn't give up the gig and not do it. Cause you just need that check.
Yeah. Like you did that with 33 stitches
in my legs and they had no idea. The audience was 500 people. I have photos. I used to take photos of my audience on stage back then in my 20s. And I have a photo of the audience from me on stage, like, to this day, and they had no idea that the night before I had jumped through a window, which is the ultimate case of like, you really don't know what people are dealing with.
Right. Oh my God.
How does one manage having a sleep disorder? I know nothing about this topic. Like, what is the therapy or what do you do?
So I went to a neurologist who specializes in sleep disorders and I went for a sleep study. So like they put all of these like electrodes all over your body to monitor what's going on in, inside of you as you're sleeping. And it's all over your face and it's monitoring like your brain activity and stuff like that. And then they diagnosed me with what's called REM sleep behavior disorder. Believe it or not, you know, the DSM, it's the book that they teach people about neurological disorders in med school. I'm in the DSM for REM sleep behavior disorder.
Whoa.
You made it.
I made it. Yeah.
It's me. I did it.
Yeah. It's me. I did it. I'm in the DSM.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm in the DSM for that. And then Keith Robinson is in it for having a stroke on stage. So,
I'm just kidding.
No. I was just trying to think of another comedian who had like a serious thing happen.
DSM comedy edition. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the chicken noodle soup for the soul, but it's like for comics disorders.
Well, comics are so broken. It's like Seinfeld has that thing about like, we're not more broken than other professions, but I'm like, no, I think we are. I think we're more broken than other professions.
Yeah.
I think we are.
And we think we're like narcissists about it. So I'm sure that's just making it worse.
Yeah, that might make it worse.
Because I think other professions are broken. I think everybody's broken probably, but we're looking at it all the time.
Yeah.
And talking about it.
That's true. Yeah, no, that's true. I think that's Seinfeld's point is like, if you, I've heard this, like him say this in an interview before, but it's like, I think he says like, if you zoom in on like the field of like postal workers or dentists, psychiatrists, whatever, it's like, you'd find the same thing. You'd be like, oh, that's a troubled profession.
Right. Sure. But maybe not as high a percentage.
Yes. Possibly.
Yeah. Where it's more like, oh, that dentist is crazy, instead of like, wow, that comedian is well adjusted. Like, you're surprised for different reasons.
Yes. No, I think that's true.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, we were talking about, like, hobbies and how, like, I've hit this point where, like, I just feel like I have to, this is sort of a self-help thing too. It's like, I feel like I just have to lower my expectations of what level of joy I need to achieve in a day. Like, I've reached a point where I'm like, if I enjoy 20 minutes of my day, I think that's pretty good. Like, I think if I enjoy 30 minutes, I'm basically a Buddha.
That's so funny. Is that a bit?
Working on it. It's not in the show, but it's like, it's just a thing I keep sort of toying with.
That's really funny. I'm going to think about that every day now. If I enjoy 20 minutes of my day, because it's so sad, but it's so real.
Yeah.
It's kind of a relief. Like, you saying that almost just gave me permission to go, like, yeah, I guess if there's a 20-minute window, I feel happy this year. Good job for that day. And it's like, I do feel like I put a lot of pressure on myself that if I wasn't happy the whole day, then it's like, well, another failure, another failed day. And it's like, maybe I just need to adjust what my expectations are.
That's
or maybe we're all broken and maybe that's not, I don't know.
But I think that's why, like, you know, talking about like the deepest, darkest things with your friends is like the best form of therapy in some ways.
Totally.
It's just to say that, like, if you can vocalize that and you hear back to you something in the same universe, like, that in itself is cathartic.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I tried to do a joke about this, but it didn't really work because I think people were like, oh, we're here to laugh. Don't talk about death. But I used to do about like when the only
send them, by the way, Taylor, send them to my show. They love my stuff.
Mike's better at comedy than me. When I get good enough, I can do it. But I try to do a joke about like people not liking movies. And I'm like, if I didn't think about death for 2 hours, that was a great movie. Like, I really am just trying to distract myself.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. All day.
No, and by the way, to be clear, I wasn't complimenting myself with that joke.
I was saying
send them to my show because they their expectations will be much lower. They'll be like, no, he talks about death unhumorously for 90 minutes straight.
Go to Mike's TED Talk.
Yeah.
We didn't take it that way at all.
But I mean, it's I don't know. How are you? Can you tell me how you're feeling, you three? How are you coping in all of it?
Oh, what a loaded question, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's loaded for me to come on the Self-Helpless podcast and ask you for maybe one or two tips, Kelsey. One or two tips. How dare you? I am leaving my living room right now.
I am walking from my bedroom into the other part of my bedroom in the studio apartment.
Goodbye to you.
Good day, sir.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I'm pretty up and down. I have days where I'm like, we're going to be okay. And then I have days where I'm like, I guess that's it. I guess I should have enjoyed it while it lasted. So I think the panic and anxiety goes up and down. How about you, Delaney?
To be honest, I really like being inside. I'm a huge introvert. And so when this first happened, I had a lot of guilt for how much I was enjoying it and how much it gave me permission to not do stuff I didn't feel like doing anymore. And so I felt like a shitty person for actually having a good time. And now, I think I have to actually remind myself to not stay in my bubble because I've really liked being in my bubble. And so I have to remember, wait a minute, you should probably like reach out to that friend or go and do something because this time has basically given me permission to do what I've deep down I've wanted to be doing. And that is that's a weird feeling. And it's been very conflicting for me.
Delaney, yeah. I know it's your podcast, but I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say that that was not helpful at all.
She is truly like the community asshole. Like we don't. Those are always the answers where she. It's like makes everybody else feel like a giant piece of shit, and we just.
That's literally. To your point, Taylor, of like, was that a bit? Like, one of my bits right now that I'm working on is like, is literally about how, like, nothing is as it seems in the pandemic. Like the other day, I was talking to my friend. He's like, "I'm having a good pandemic. I'm getting a lot done." And like a week later, he's like, "We're getting a divorce." Right. And a week after that, he's like, "I've murdered my grandmother. You don't need to know the details. I have Irish citizenship and I'll be at the Zoom pottery class on Tuesday."
That's so funny. And the next week he's like, "I started gardening."
Yeah. Oh my God. Speaking of which, that was actually a joke. If there is a way to plug, that is a joke that I will plug. I'm doing virtual shows for God's sakes. Sam was the one who told me that I should, because he was like, "I like it." I was like, "If you
he did a couple. Yeah.
I was like, "If you like it, I'll try it."
Yeah.
I think Sam's a riot, and I think he has a lot of integrity. I mean, like, and so I was like, "Yeah, if you like it, I'll try it." And then I love it. I mean, I love it too. Oh, you do it too. You do it too.
I love it, and I know that's an unpopular opinion. Now I sound like the Delaney of the group, but like. I know that liking Zoom shows this year is an unpopular opinion. And I mean, of course, there have been like one or two where, yeah, technical glitches, stuff like that happens where you're like, "Oh, this is kind of annoying." But overall, I've had some really positive experiences and it just feels good to connect with people. I like that I'm wearing my fucking slippers. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of, I've kind of embraced it in certain ways.
I did this whole thing where I took my office and I had a cinematographer virtually light the room with professional lights.
Oh, wow.
And three cameras.
No
so
way.
It's like I turned my office into a soundstage. And then I do like a weekend. Instead of doing one show, I do like four shows, like over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm doing like Friday, two Saturday, one Sunday, like a comedy club. And then that weekend, it's like a club. It's like the same set all weekend.
Yeah. That's great. That's so a great idea.
To your point, Delaney, about being an introvert, I have a joke that is in my book about, because my wife is an introvert. She feels the same way you do. And I say, the joke is, I go, "My wife is an introvert. I'm an extrovert. An extrovert, someone who gets energy from being around other people, and an introvert doesn't like you." Or she might like you, but she's going to need me to explain why we're leaving the party.
That is so good.
Thanks.
I have been struggling with overworking though, because I am inside and I'm doing all these things in one place. So that's been a problem, is I haven't been like resting as much as I probably should be during this time.
Doesn't she make and it's a problem.
Yeah.
Oh no, everybody froze. Can you guys hear me still?
Are we frozen a bit?
I can.
Kelsey froze for a second, but that was it.
Oh okay.
Well, I'm recording my audio on my end, so it should be okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
And then Kelsey, what is your advice, or if you want to choose Delaney's version of it, non-advice or hostility?
Hostility. Feeling attacked. My advice, gosh. I mean, when you're asking like, how are you guys doing this year? So I got divorced a week before COVID hit.
No way.
Yeah. So this has been a particularly, you know, tough year of a lot of huge changes in my life. And,
Can I ask a personal question?
Sure.
Were you in a Mormon fundamentalist cult? Because how young were you married?
Oh, well, I met my ex-husband when I was 22 and we were together for 8 years.
Okay. Got it.
Got it.
Long, right. It's an inappropriate question. It's an inappropriate question. Actually.
Oh, it's, That makes me think that you think I look young, which you honestly, you this year I will absolutely like, yeah. take that compliment.
Okay,
so
good,
thank you.
Good.
Thank you. So for, I think for me, what's been helpful is just really, really trying to focus a day at a time. And I know that's a lot of meditation too, is trying to be present. But if you feel like your life is changing so quickly that it can feel overwhelming, we talk about it in the, do you know the book, The Artist's Way?
Yeah, I love it.
I love that book. I love where she talks about that in this exact moment right now, you're okay. And like in the very yeah. next exact moment, you're okay. And so trying yeah. to just, it can get overwhelming for me. And I'm sure for a lot of people this year, if you are somebody who's plan oriented, which I've always been very like, okay, what's coming up on my schedule? It's hard this year when we don't know what's happening. My comedy calendar's changed so much. So trying to really take things like a day at a time, an hour at a time, be kind to myself, like not yeah. expect too much of myself. And so that's why it resonated with me so much when you said, if I'm happy for 20 minutes today, maybe that's yeah. a good starting point and just go from there.
Yeah. Delaney, you guys, Delaney,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I have to hop off. I have a call. I was not looking at the clock. I was really enjoying this. I enjoyed 20 minutes of my day and now I'm going to be late. thank you so much for doing this.
I'm just birbigs.com, birbigs.com. And then, I have the Working It Out virtually shows coming up Thanksgiving and Christmas, which I actually haven't announced yet, but it's going to be.
Perfect. Sounds good.
There you go.
Thanks again. All right. Take care.
Oh man, that was so fun. He's so good, funny, dude.
Yeah, he's definitely another one of those guests that we could talk to for hours and hours.
Oh yeah, this could have been an 8-hour episode for sure. Yeah. we do have an iTunes review of the episode. This one is from Mary Mac 64. It says, "Love it. It's probably not healthy to replace real friendship with a podcast." So funny.
I love it.
But whatever, it's COVID. Oh my god. feeling this one hard. These ladies are so genuine, smart, and hilarious. Listening through the backlog and loving every episode. So helpful in all caps. I love it. Mary Mac, thank you so much.
Thank
so nice.
You. Such a great review.
Funny.
Yeah.
Funny one-liner.
And
oh my gosh.
You know, you guys leaving us iTunes ratings and reviews of 5 stars is the thing that keeps us on the chart on iTunes. So if you haven't yet, as always, please take a second to go leave a rating and review. It really truly does help us.
It is great. Yeah. And then, you know, when we're on the charts, other people find the show. We get more people in the Facebook group community. People, you know, get more friends. It's just wonderful all around.
It's the best. Yeah,
it is the best. Kelsey, do you have anything that you want to plug of any kind before we sign off?
Real quick, just a reminder, I'm going to be headlining Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia December 3rd through the 5th. So you can get tickets at kelseycook.com or follow me on Instagram at kelseycookcomedy. And the link is in my bio.
Amazing. And I'll just give a shout out to my new podcast, Efficionado. If you are an entrepreneur who is looking to start or scale a business by simplifying, basically, do you want to increase your revenue, but also increase your free time? Head over to Efficionado. Or if you're just looking, maybe you don't run a business, but you're just looking to free up some time for yourself and do more of the things that you enjoy. That is what the show is all about. And then for Taylor Tomlinson's show dates, is it ttomcomedy.com?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or you can follow Taylor. There. Yeah. You can also follow Taylor on Instagram at Taylor Tomlinson, because I know she posts the links in her bio as well.
Perfect. There you go. Cool.
All right.
Well, we love you guys so much and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Bye guys.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We really appreciate it and would love anything you can do to help the show grow and get the word out. So if you could leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, that helps us move up the iTunes charts. If you can tell a friend, a coworker, a family member, anybody that you think would love the podcast, you can also screenshot an episode and share it in your Instagram, Instagram stories, anything helps. Also, if you want more of the show, if you want bonus episodes, if you want to be able to be more interactive and help choose podcast topics, you can go to patreon.com/selfhelpless and join there. You guys can follow me on Instagram at Kelsey Cook Comedy, on Twitter at Kelsey Cook. You can go to my website, kelseycook.com, which has links to my online makeup course. You can listen to my album, Savor It, on Spotify and iTunes. And you can watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. How about you guys? Where can people find you?
You can follow me at Taylor Tomlinson on Instagram and Twitter. My website is ttomcomedy.com. And you can watch my 1 hour special streaming on Netflix right now called Quarter Life Crisis.
Awesome. And you can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. That's where you'll find information about my one-to-one consulting and my online courses. So basically, if you're a business owner, podcaster, or comedian, and you're looking to either start those things or grow those things, you can reach out to me for more information. I also have an email list at DelaneyFisher.com where I share my favorite tools, tips, treats, and free shit. And then we just want to say a big special thank you to our wonderful editor, Emma Erdbrink, and our fantastic associate producer, Humaira Nawaz.
And you can find everything that we all just mentioned at selfhelplesspodcast.com.